Incredible words. He has no rival. He has no equal. Isn't that great? Great reminder for us today. And what an opportunity to worship Him as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the one above all other names. What a beautiful, wonderful, powerful name of Jesus, the one that we serve. Before we get into our topic of the morning, I want to bring an announcement. Leadership is one of those words that you hear a lot. And one of the things that we are looking to do is we are trying to bring into our congregation leadership training. Now, someone can say, well, is that for me or is that not for me? Well, let me put it this way. As I've said before, a leader is an influencer. A person who has an impact on someone else's life or others' lives. And so we have this tendency to think that a leader is somebody that's at the top of the ladder, the one who's the CEO, the decision maker. But one of the things that we understand is that leadership happens on all levels. If you have a life that you impact, someone that you influence, then you are, by definition, a leader. If you have children, you're a leader. If you're a teacher, you're a leader. No matter what you're doing, you lead in some way or another. So on March 29th, what we are doing is we're going to start a leadership training course. It will continue on. We're going to be meeting every other month on the last Tuesday of the month. And what this is just an opportunity for individuals. If you want to come, we'd love to have you. Anyone, if you're a man, you're invited. If you're a woman, you're invited. High school students, male or female, you're invited to come as well. And even if you think you're not a leader, then you're really invited to come because we all are. And what we're going to do here is we are going to be talking about some steps and some things about how can we become effective leaders for the kingdom of God. Now, there's things that will help with other areas of life, wherever you may be an influence, but this is about being intentional in life to grow in leadership and in influence. So, this is for you. If you're hearing this morning, if you're here, you are invited. If you are interested, you want to know more, feel free to talk to me. I'd love to visit with you a little bit more about that. Or else you can go onto our website, or you can, out in the foyer, there will be a sign up. And we'd love to know if you're coming so we can make sure we have enough material for everybody to be there for that. So put that on your calendars. March 29th, we will be starting at 6:30 that evening. All right. We are talking about discipleship. This morning, I want to kind of talk about masks a little bit. Have you ever put on a mask? No, none of us put on a mask. Let me ask a different question. What is your greatest fear when you're around people? You know, it's interesting because we have those fears, you know, there's those phobias that we have in life. You know, like some people are really scared of snakes and you know, other things, small, tight spaces or whatever you might have. There's fears of that nature. But then there's those fears of around people, the fear of I don't want people to know something about me or who I really am. I remember one day I was in high school. And there was a student, a girl that sat right in front of me. We had assigned seats and she was sitting in front of me. And I realized one day that the face that I saw every day in front of me was not the real face. There was a definitive line that went right around her chin and down that looked like there was enough stuff on her face called makeup that needed a paint scraper to remove at the end of the day, I'm pretty sure. And I began to wonder, I'm like, wow, that is a mask that is on that person. You know, it was very thick. It was very much put on there. And she had invested well in the product of Aquanet as well. And, you know, it was just there. I only know that because one day, being a good, obedient student, I may have made a paper airplane and landed it in the hair. And it didn't move. The plane kind of got smashed up, but the hair didn't move. The face didn't move. Nothing moved. And I'm going, wow, masks. She was covering up something. Something that she didn't want us to see. Truth is, we all to some degree have a mask that we put on. It may not be by Mary Kay or L'Oreal or one of those different products, but we put a mask on, we cover up something because we don't want people to see who we really are under the mask. But this morning, we're going to talk about that. It might get uncomfortable, I suppose, but shouldn't be. But our text of this morning is going to be in Luke chapter 6, and I would invite you to go there with me. We're going to read just a few verses. Luke chapter 6, starting at verse 43. And as we're talking about this, remember we're taking this from the discipleship standpoint. As followers of Jesus Christ, what can we take from this? What does this look like for us? Again, it's easy for us to put a mask on and cover what we are, but really, we need to get to the real heart of the matter. And that's what Jesus does here in Luke chapter 6, starting at verse 43. He says, "A good tree bears bad fruit, or no good tree bears bad fruit, nor does a bad tree bear good fruit. Each tree is recognized by its own fruit. People do not pick figs from the thorn bush or grapes from briars. A good man brings good out of the good stored up in his heart, and an evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart. For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of." Father, as we take these moments and as we open your word together and as we look at what masks we carry and wear, Lord, maybe today would be a day that we can throw those masks away because we know that our significance is in you and because you are at work in us. Lord, help us to hear from you this morning. In your name we pray. Amen. Now, really this morning, our topic is right there in the passage. Pretty simple, pretty straightforward. We're just going to talk about the different parts of what it says there. And as we look at this idea of masks, the idea of putting something on because we don't want people to see, you see this very clearly in this passage. There's three aspects of this wearing a mask or not wearing a mask. One aspect that we see is Jesus says, he goes, there's fruit, the fruit that is produced. There are things within life that we produce that we call fruit. Now, with each of these, I want to give you what I'm calling a truth to gain today, and they're very simple. The truth to gain for this is that we all produce fruit of some kind. Our lives will produce fruit, and that's what the passage says. A bad tree will produce bad fruit, a good tree will produce good fruit. No matter what we're doing, we are producing fruit. Now, obviously, in this discussion of discipleship and taking off masks, our desire is that we want to produce good fruit, right? That's the hope, that's the plan. Now, the question can often come back to, well, what is this fruit that you're talking about? And there's been times where I've had conversations and it gets kind of confusing. They're like, well, it means this. Well, no, it means this. Well, what does it mean? As a matter of fact, the Bible talks about fruit. And if we look at what the Scripture says, we can see the different fruit that we should be producing. Now, obviously, the one given is that in the Bible it talks about fruit, real fruit, you know, grapes, pomegranates, all those different kinds of fruits that they had. That's not the fruit that we produce, all right? Let's get that one out of the way. The Bible talks about it, but that's not the fruit that we produce. So what is the fruit that we produce, if it's good fruit? Well, we see one of these in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 and 23. This is called the fruit of the Spirit. You've heard it, you know it. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. This is what is called the fruit of the Spirit. These are the things that if we live by the Spirit, we will produce. And you've heard me say it before, and I say it again. Notice that it doesn't say fruits of the Spirit. These are to all be a part of who we are when we live as Christ. When we have the work of the Holy Spirit in us, we produce this fruit. So one of those things that it says a good tree produces good fruit, this is one of those fruit that we see. But we find that there's actually other kind of fruit that Scripture talks about. For example, if you were to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 15, you would see it says, "Now that the household of Stephanas were the first converts in Achaia, and they devoted themselves to the service of the Lord's people." Now you're looking at that and you're going, there's no comment there of fruit. Now some of you may have a translation that actually would say that the household of Stephanas were the first fruits in Asia or in Achaia. Does anybody have that one in theirs? First fruits? Some of you do. So that's this idea. So another kind of fruit that we are to produce are those that have come to know Christ through us, that we have shared the gospel with, that we have talked with, that we have led them to Jesus Christ, and they are now followers themselves. Those in whom we disciple. That is a fruit that we bear. Now, continuing on with that, we see another one in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 15. Now, this is an interesting one because I think we can often overlook this one. "Through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of lips that openly profess His name." Isn't that interesting? Because I don't know, this is one of those ones, like I said, it is easy for me to overlook it, but look at what he says is a fruit that is produced in the life of the disciple of Christ who lives this life out and doesn't cover it up. It is the fruit of the lips, which is praise to God. Let me put it this way. It is the verbal praise. It is the profession of God as my Lord and my Savior. This is why these times are so important for us. This is why worship is so important for us. When we have these services together, that we are praising God, because that is a fruit that we are bearing. I've heard some at times that will say, "Well, you know, I don't have a very good voice, so therefore, I just worship well, I praise God well inside." But you notice that scripture doesn't say the fruit of the heart is praise. It's the fruit of the lips. Because remember, fruit is a visible product, isn't it? Something that is outwardly seen. So when we talk about this, God is saying that one of those fruit that we produce are lips that praise God. Whether it's by singing or just proclaiming Him, do we produce that fruit? Another one you actually find is in Philippians chapter 1, verse 22. "If I am to go on living in the body, this will mean fruitful labor for me. Yet what shall I choose? I don't know." Here Paul is saying, you know, it would be great for me to die and go and be with Christ. It's better for me to die. But since I'm staying here, it will be fruitful. For me to live means fruitful labor for God. So what is he talking about here? Well, some might say, well, isn't that just what we said already, producing converts? Not necessarily. I mean, that can be a result of this. But what he is saying here is all of those things that I do for the kingdom of God. We read in Scripture, one of the things, whatever you do, whether eating or drinking or working, whatever you do, do it all in the name of the Lord. Whatever I do in the name of the Lord is a fruit that I produce for Him. If I am doing kingdom work, whatever it may be, if I am doing some form of ministry, I'm helping, I'm volunteering, I'm teaching, I'm involved in children's ministry, youth ministry, security ministry, whatever it is, if I am doing that for the Lord, that is fruitful labor for me. It will produce good fruit for the kingdom of God. So these are the things that we need. Fruit is that thing that we show on the outside, right? Now, here's the interesting part about this. Can you produce some fruit that may not be the normal fruit? I always put it this way. You can for a while try to produce fruit, but even as it says here that we will produce the kind of fruit that is consistent with the second part, the tree. What is the tree? He says in verse, your tree will be recognized by its fruit. Now, this is important for us to get because this is really that place where we start to see the mask beginning to get involved. The fruit, a mask can't cover the fruit because the fruit is what we produce, right? But the tree is something that sometimes we say, you know what? I want to cover up the tree and make it look like it's another tree, make it look like it's something else. But the truth to gain for this one is simply this. The tree determines the fruit. Remember the first one, the truth to gain was we all produce fruit of some sort. This one now says that the tree determines the fruit, not the other way around. Some people will go, well, of course, that tree is producing an apple there, or that there's an apple on that tree, therefore it must be an apple tree, right? Well, you know, this is an interesting thing. You can fake it for a while. We went to Home Depot a while back, and we were looking at plants, looking at different things, and there were these cactus, right? And it was really kind of cool because they were like these fun little cactuses, the things that you put on, and you have to, like, for people that easily kill plants, they're supposed to live better for you, okay? You know, you only have to water them like once a month, and it's like pretty easy and stuff like that. Well, this one, it was like, you know, it was really kind of neat. It was this small cactus, and it goes up, and then it had this, like a pom-pom flower on the top of it, and it looked really nice, and you're like, oh, that's a cool one. It has a blossom, and upon closer inspection, you know what we saw? Glue. They glued the flower on top to make it look like that cactus produced a blossom that was like that. And I was going, why? You're selling something that's not even true. And all of a sudden I'm going, wow. When we put on the mask, that is what we're doing. We're actually putting out there this false fruit and trying to say that I'm really this kind of a tree. I'm not that kind of a tree. Well, the question needs to be asked is, what is the tree? Is it me? Well, no. Tree is our character. When we're looking at this, he says, here's what it is. A good tree will produce good fruits. I don't just sit there and I go, you know, I mean, I could go, I'm a healthy guy. I try to keep in shape a little bit. I will produce good fruit. No, it's not that. It's my character. It's my integrity. How I live my life. I love the story of Job. I love going back to Job because you see something in Job that you really don't see in others. In Job chapter 2, Satan is standing before the presence of God, and it says that he's accusing everybody. He's kind of doing his thing. You know, he's going, I've been wandering around seeking whom I can devour, kind of thing, right? And he goes before God, accusing the saints. And then God says this, then the Lord said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job? There's no one on earth like him. He is blameless and upright. A man who fears God and shuns evil, and he still maintains his integrity, though you incited me against him to ruin him without any reason. Do you see what God says there? Now, there's two parts in this. One, that conversation would be really scary. God is saying to Satan, he goes, hey, consider this guy over here. Look what he said. He's blameless. He's above reproach. His character is impeccable. He runs away from evil. There is nothing bad about this guy. I don't know if I'd want to be hearing that conversation that God would have with Satan if my name came up. Have you considered my servant Pete? He's okay some of the times. Yeah, he makes mistakes. But you notice what this is about. God went to the character. He said, look at Job. He is impeccable. He is this man of great character. And you know what? It showed in Job's life. The fruit that he produced was not because he was a wealthy man. The fruit that he produced was not because he was some high up on the chain where he lived. The fruit that was produced was because the tree of who Job was a man of integrity. Look at what Paul says to Titus. I love it. We dedicated Titus earlier in the service. But look what he says to Titus in Titus chapter 2, verses 7 and 8. In everything, set them an example by doing what is good. In your teaching, show integrity, seriousness, and soundness of speech that cannot be condemned, so that those who oppose you may be ashamed because they have nothing bad to say about us. Titus, in everything you do, show the highest level of character. Why? Because people will see it. And people will see your fruit. And when they see that, all they can say is, you know what? The fruit that that guy is producing means that there's a healthy tree there. The tree is so important. John Wooden, old-time basketball coach. I love the words that he said. He says, listen to this. He said, be more concerned with your character than your reputation. Because your character is what you really are, while your reputation is merely what others think of you. Listen to that again. Be more concerned with your character than your reputation, because your character is what you really are, while your reputation is merely what others think of you. Your character is your tree. It is who you really are. And it is in that character that you will produce the kind of fruit that is directly a result of who you are in character. It will show. Jesus said a bad tree will not produce good fruit. This last summer, we had to cut down a tree in our backyard because it was not producing anything. The ash borer had gotten to it, and so it was dying, everything was gone. But you know what was interesting is we were sitting there and we're looking up in the tree, and there were two branches that were producing leaves. Two. Out of the whole tree. Every other branch was not producing. And we could have sat there and gone, well, it's still producing, it's still doing good. But the integrity of the tree was such that we knew it was dying. It was dead. It had to be removed. Otherwise, it would infect other trees. It would cause a problem. What it would produce would not be good fruit at all. And sometimes what we try to do is we maybe even try to make it look nice. We'll hang lights on it, or we'll put fake trees on it, or we'll spray something, and or whatever we'll do. We will make it look better, trying to improve what it looks like for others to see. The tree will produce the fruit. But there's one important aspect about this. Because understand that the tree, what we see there and the fruit that it produces, is a direct result of what's going on in the heart of the tree. This is the part where we really get serious with this, because as a disciple of Christ, we need to look at what is going on in the heart. And actually, even Jesus said it this way. He said that what is stored up in the heart is what will eventually come out. The young girl in high school that sat in front of me and wore a face mask, the question, you know, it's like, why? Why would you wear so much? Why so thick? And you know what? All of a sudden you began to realize there was imperfections under the mask. There were bumps here and there. Something called acne. High school, remember those days? I mean, it was like, you did everything to try to, you didn't want anybody to see that nice big dot right there in the middle of your forehead, and so you put everything on it to try and cover it up. Now, here's the thing. Did the mask remove it? No. The mask just covered it up. What was causing that to happen was actually what was going in rather than what was coming out. For example, junk food, eating all of the candy, all of the soda, getting no sleep, the stress, everything else, all of the junk that's going into the body begins to come out, and that is what happens. So all of a sudden you got to put it all on to make it look good. What goes in comes out. Warren Buffett, you maybe heard of that guy. He has a few dollars. He says, in looking for people to hire, look for three qualities: integrity, intelligence, and energy. And if they don't have the first, the other two will kill you. That's pretty powerful, isn't it? He says, if you're looking for someone to hire, make sure that the biggest thing that you're looking for is a person of integrity. Because if they have all of the abilities and the capabilities, those will destroy you without any kind of integrity. But integrity starts in the heart. Integrity starts with what goes into the heart. Proverbs 10 verse 9 says, whoever walks in integrity walks securely, but whoever takes crooked paths will be found out. And that's such a powerful thought. If we walk in integrity, those things that go in, we can walk securely. We can walk confidently. Not arrogantly, but we can walk confidently knowing, you know what, I'm not hiding anything. I don't need to worry about someone finding out who I am. I am what I display because that's what's going in. Proverbs 27:19 says, as water reflects the face, so one's life reflects the heart. I love that. You know, oftentimes we look at this from the standpoint of major sins, right? You know, oh yeah, if you put in a lot of junk, then you're going to become a murderer, or you're going to become an adulterer, or you're going to become one of these horrible, horrible people. But understand that this goes all the way to every level of integrity. It goes to the words. You know, what about complaining? What about criticizing? Gossip? Are my conversations with other people always the same, or do they change depending on where I am? Do I have a conversation here in church and I'm saying one thing, and then I go to work on Monday and I'm saying a completely different thing? Integrity is what we allow to come in, because that is what comes in eventually becomes who I really am, and it eventually comes out. Jesus said these words in Matthew 12:33-37. Make a tree good. Now, look at that word. Make a tree good. Make a tree good and its fruit will be good. Or make a tree bad and its fruit will be bad. For a tree is recognized by its fruit. You brood of vipers, how can you who are evil say anything good? For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. A good man brings good things out of the good stored up in him, and an evil man brings evil out of this evil stored up in him. But I tell you that everyone who will have to give an account on the day of judgment for every empty word they have spoken. For by the words you will be acquitted, and by your words you will be condemned. You see how clear he puts that. The good that we store up inside is the good that will come out. If we don't get this, eventually we're going to have problems. If we don't get this, we're going to be living every day wearing this mask that we have to put on and take off every day because we don't want people to see who we really are. Ultimately, what I do becomes who I am. I don't know if you've seen it before, but oftentimes you'll read a story about a celebrity or some athlete that has a major fall or something, you know, a failure in life. They do something, they get caught, they get in trouble. And you know what's interesting to me, and I don't know if you catch this, but every once in a while you'll read in there where the person says something along this lines, that is not who I really am. Have you ever read that? You know, it's like, this person was caught cheating in this way, blah, 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 blah. And then they go, you know what? I don't know what happened. That's not who I really am. And you know, the only response that one can say is, that's exactly who you are. Because what happened was all that was put in came to the place where that is what eventually came out. That is who we really are. I know I've shared my opinion about Facebook in the past a few times. But this is one area where I think as followers of Christ, we see it a lot. Sometimes it's very disturbing to see the hypocrisy and the duplicity of a believer on Facebook. What do I mean by that? There are plenty of times where you look at one person, in one hand you'll read this beautiful, beautiful post. You know, it'll have some, they'll repost or they'll share something that someone else put on it. Very spiritual meme or a spiritual word or something, you know, just a beautiful thing. And then the next day they post something else that has curse words or criticism or tearing down people or something like that. Or maybe even showing pictures of what they're doing with their friends holding things in their hands, whether it be alcoholic drink or something else, and they're clearly not living in a way that is glorifying to God. They're taking one side over here and doing this and one side over here. You know what? The only thing that we can say is this: what goes in eventually comes out. How we put into our lives will eventually turn the tree to become what it is that we're putting out. The mask can cover only so long until the mask cracks and the true us comes out. That's why Paul says in Philippians 4, verse 8, "Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. What goes in comes out." Garbage in, garbage out. Blessing in, blessing out. A good tree will bear good fruit. A bad tree will bear bad fruit. We have these masks. The choice is ours what we're going to do with it. The tree that you are will be determined by what you do, not with the mask, but with what you put into it. Maybe this morning you find yourself as one of those people that every morning before you walk out the door, you have to put on a mask for wherever you're going. You have to try to trick people into thinking you're something that inside you're not. You know the greatest thing about this? Remember what Jesus said. I read just a moment ago in Matthew. He says, "Make the tree good, and it will produce good fruit." Make the tree good, and it will produce good fruit. In our lives, we have the opportunity to make the tree good. We have the opportunity to throw those masks to the side and simply say, "This is what I'm going to base my life on now, on the Word of Christ and in the power of the Holy Spirit." Friends, what kind of a tree are you today? What's going into that tree? And what fruit are you producing? Because that's the heart of the matter. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, would you work on our hearts? Would you draw us to yourself? Bring us to the place where all we desire is more of you. Because, Lord, we know that more of you results in more of you going out. Father, we want to be the aroma of Christ, the flowering evidence of who you are, producing the good fruit of the kingdom of God. Lord, today maybe we need to take those masks off and lay them at the foot of the cross and allow you to do some gardening and work in us. We thank you that you love us enough that you will prune where pruning is needed, but you will do all that you can to help us be healthy. Help us to be good trees bearing good fruit. In your name we pray. Amen.